air, to drink his water, to
put on his clothes, to drive his car, to sit in his building, because everything is his. He blessed us so richly, and sometimes we're our worst enemies. We sometimes look around, and because we have a little trouble in our life, we sometimes forget to count our blessings. So I encourage you, one of those times when you're down in the dump, to stop, count some blessings. What they'll do is they'll put things in perspective and they'll help us see that we still serve an awesome God no matter what we deal with. Subject title this morning. Oops. Flying too fast. God can work for you. Now, there's a lot of lessons, a whole lot of lessons for us to learn from being avid students of our Old Testament. When you think about all the things that we end up, and we know that we're not under the law of keeping those commandments as far as worship and stuff, but please don't neglect them in your Bible study. So many things that we can learn about how God deals with folks. We learn the very nature of God. We learn what sin is. We learn what to do and what not to do. We also learn that every book in the Bible, either directly or indirectly, points towards Jesus or points out Jesus or talks about Jesus. So we know that from the beginning, Jesus and his plan for man was in the mind of God. We're going to learn a little lesson today from the book of 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And, you know, we all got favorite stories in the Bible, but this is one that I really enjoy. This is one that I often study, so maybe we can get some out of it as well. 1 Samuel 14, we're going to begin at verse number 1. And I got reading through verse number 6. We're going to read a little bit more of it as well. Beginning at verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 14, and the reading is such. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, son of Saul, said unto the young man that beareth armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine's garrison, that is on the other side, but he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the other side, and a sharp rock on one side, and the name of the maiden one was Bozaz, and the name of the other was Sinnath. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his own, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these Philistines. These uncircumcised, it may be that the Lord will work for us, but there is no restraint to the Lord but to save by many or few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over to these Philistines and will discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Subject title, God can and will work for you. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is loving. We serve a God that is merciful. We serve a God who blesses us richly. But I think sometimes we forget who we got on our side. I think sometimes we take our eyes off of problems. We begin to look at the world around us. I think sometimes, just like Peter did, when we take our focus off Jesus, we begin to sink in this world of trouble, in this world of pain, in this world of trials and tribulations. But Jonathan here gives us some very good points to learn as we live on this world. Life, Satan will always tell us that we are alone in fighting this battle. Satan does a number on our psyche. You know that, right? The first thing he wants you to do is to realize and feel like you're alone and nobody else is going through what you're going through. And if you're not careful, that would be the way you approach everything. We sometimes even wonder if God is even there. Is he with us at all times? These may be questions that you ask yourself, especially when you're going through things. How do we put him to work in our lives? So So we're going to look at some very practical strategies, learning some lessons from Jonathan's example. Let's do a little bit of background on it. Saul was anointed king by Samuel and the people. Saul led the Israelites to a great victory earlier in the book of 1 Samuel against the Ammonites, but he struggled mightily to defeat the Philistines. You know, get Goliath and his five brothers were Philistines, and that's kind of what David and Goliath came into the picture a little bit later on in history. But I want you to notice what he was up against. First of all, he says the Philistines had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horses. They also had a vast army and more powerful weapons than Israel could ever think of. So, looking at it on the surface, Saul and Israel didn't have a chance, did they? Because all he had was a small army of about 600 men. Now, you know if he had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horses, he had way more than 600 men. So that's our number. What is your mindset when it seems like the deck is stacked against you? How do you approach your problems when it seems like they're surrounding you and outnumbering you? Because you can approach it two ways. You can approach it the way Saul did, in which he sat up on the pomegranate tree and worried, filled his head with anxiety, and sat and did nothing. Or you can learn some lessons from Jonathan. That's usually how we approach our problems. We're going to talk about the difference. So we see this is the setting here. They're here. They had been wearing the Israelites out for a while. And here it is, seeing King Saul and those folks. I don't know where the rest of them were. Matter of fact, we're going to see that some of them already jumped to the other side. They were on the other side of the Philistines. Doesn't it happen sometimes where you just give up and you think you're going to jump on the right side? You go back out in the world and you think the world is better? But what happens is you end up losing. So don't be afraid of being in the minority. Some of us, the last thing we want to do is stand by ourselves. Oftentimes in life, you're going to be in a situation where God requires you to stand on his promises, to act upon the faith that we say we have. You know, we say we have faith, and it's great to say it. It sounds good in theory. It sounds good written in a letter or a card. But is it real? That's going to be some times in your life where you're going to be tested in an area. But this is what's going on here. So first of all, Saul and all of Israel rose with fear, but not Jonathan. Jonathan decided to do these three things, and we're going to look at some lessons we learned. Not focus on the enemy, but focus on God. Actively attack his problem. And stop waiting on Saul and everybody else to make it happen. These are three things that whatever we're facing in life, these are three tried and true strategies that will get you through any problem or situation that you're dealing with on this side of the living. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the God who's bigger than your problem. Attack it. Don't sit back and patiently take stuff. Put it on attack. That's when you engage. That's when you add God into the picture. The reason why God is not working and acting on our lives is because we've chosen not to put him to work in our lives. We're still trying to handle this situation ourselves. We're still trying to battle these demons ourselves. And guess what? No wonder your record is 0-132. Because you're trying to do it yourself. You think you have enough in you to handle whatever you're handling. The answer is no. No. But it doesn't mean that we sit back and wait for God to do everything either. That's what we're going to learn from. So we stop waiting on Saul and everybody else. Right situations, right circumstances, right conditions. He stopped waiting for it, and he just decided that day that God had already given him the victory. And I wonder if we took that mindset into our problems, how much better we make it through it. If you realize that God has already given us the victory, now victory does not mean necessarily that your problem will get better on this type of living, but if you're faithful until the end, you know that one day you're not going to have to deal with it anymore. Amen. Don't focus on the short term. And life on this earth, yes, indeed, is short-term compared to eternity. We oftentimes do that. And we begin to fret. Anxiety consumes us so much so that we're paralyzed in fear and anxiety and stress. Is that how God wants us to live? The answer is no. Let's look at some lessons from Jonathan. Lesson number one, Jonathan went out instead of sitting down. Now, most of us would have been right there with Saul. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We got an enemy surrounded. Oh, woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. Wah, wah, wah. Now, I'm not doing that to minimize your problem, but I'm talking about looking at things and perspective to who God is. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. Is there anything that you and I can't do through Christ who strengthens us? The answer is no. But why do we do things? What was Saul's problem? He just wore out the Ammonites. What was his problem? Well, I feel Saul is just like us sometimes. Now, we got some victories, but when we look and it seems like off gate or off the bat that we're outnumbered or we can't do it, we throw up our hands in defeat. We sit and wait for the inevitable to happen. We sit and wait for that self-fulfilling prophecy that we tell ourselves, this is not going to work out. Not for me. I can't do it. That situation's too bad. I don't see my way out of it. Instead of focusing on God. That's the difference. That's the only difference between Saul and Jonathan. And we're going to see that it had the effects that he couldn't even dream of. And all he started to do was get up and go out. Don't keep sitting under the shade trees of life. Many of us are wanting better situations in our lives, want better things to happen for us, and all we're doing is sitting back wishing. That's all we're doing. Are you doing anything to make it happen? Jonathan was out looking for the enemy in the fight. Now, notice that mindset. He wasn't waiting, cowering. He went looking for the enemy. He knew the enemy was there. We know who our enemy is, Satan. What business we got running from Satan? We already know he's angry. We already know that we're going to be hated by the world because it hated Christ. We already just automatically assume that. Automatically assume that the world is not going to accept us. Get over it. The world's going to talk about you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to sabotage your efforts. Go ahead and accept that and move anyway. Because if that's what's keeping you from moving, there is no way in the world you can be fulfilling God's mission for your life. Because all you're doing is fretting and worrying. But Jonathan was this. He was tired of sitting, waiting on his destruction. Oh my goodness. How many of us are doing that today? All we're doing is existing, sitting, waiting on our destruction. One more day on this earth, I'm just ready to leave. Well, I understand that thing, but it should be an expected ready to leave if you're working for the master.
That's right.
That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be a dreadful thing. No matter what this world throws at you, understand this. But whatever day you have, the next day you're one closer. One day closer. One day closer to Christ coming back and your situation getting better. Instead of looking at it always from the negative point of view, why not look at it on the positive point of view? Just like when it talks about, you know, it's always darkest in the middle of the night before daybreak. If all you're focusing on the darkness, there's no way in the world you'll see the sunrise on the horizon. That's all we do is focus on the darkness. I understand it's dark, but morning's going to come eventually. I can't tell you when. God can, but you know it will. He promised it. He headed straight towards the garrison on the hill. Two people. Him and his armor bearer. Notice what he said. And notice what he did here. Because, let's go back to 1 Samuel 14, verse 1 and 2. It said, now it came to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bears armor, come and let us go into the Philistines' garrison. That is on the other side. But notice what he said the last part is. But he told not his father. Sometimes we wait for permission to make things happen. Who are you waiting for permission from? Why are you waiting for things to get certainly right? Why are you waiting for things to get lined up to move, allow God to move in your life, to move with your problem? What are you waiting on? Now notice he didn't tell some folks. Some folks, all they're going to do is discourage you anyway.
Right.
Now, if he had told Saul, Saul would have probably stopped and maybe even been in prison and was like, well, what's wrong with you? First of all, you my son. Second of all, didn't you see all them chariots and horses over there? Don't you understand that we defeated? You don't need to tell everybody your situation. You need to learn sometimes to move in silence.
That's right.
You need to learn sometimes just to get up and move in silence. Everybody don't have to know. You don't need a pat on the back from everybody. And some people, when they pass you on the back, they got a knife in their hand. And you're wondering why you're bleeding. You're wondering why you ain't moving. They done stabbed you in the back when they hurt you. So don't worry about them. You looking for the accolades of this society? You looking for everybody in the church, everybody in the family to be on your side? The answer is stop looking for it. It's not going to happen. But he got tired. He headed straight for the garrison. The Lord worked for Jonathan because Jonathan first worked for the Lord. Is that your strategy? Are you waiting on God to do everything and then you do something? That ain't the way it works. All Jonathan did initially was make a decision to fight. That's all he did. He didn't look at the numbers. He didn't pay attention to it. He didn't let his father know because he knows what the speech he would have got from his father. He just decided to go on and move on his own. What a contrast between Saul and Jonathan. Here's Saul, who was specifically chosen by God and the prophet Samuel, who was head and shoulders above all of Israel. When you know somebody, he was somebody that was there. He was a picture of what a good, strong leader should be. But look at his heart. It's not always the size of the dog that's in the fight. Sometimes it's the size of the fight that's in the dog. Don't worry about it if you seem small compared to your problem. Don't worry about it if it seems like you don't have enough. Don't worry about it if you seem you don't have enough money and not enough folks. Just go to work. That's all you need to do. But not only that, it says that God will use your faith and courage to help others defeat their own enemies. We leave that part out. Sometimes folks need to see us fight a good fight of faith. And they'll be encouraged from it. So much so, if you read a little bit later on in this particular chapter, all them turncoats, all them folks who jumped from the Israelites to the Philistines came back and fought the Philistines, and they were a big part of the victory, but it would have never happened unless Jonathan decided to get up and his armor bearer decided to get up and fight. They didn't see that coming. They knew they had folks on the other side. They weren't concerned about that. All they did was focus on God. But look at the result. Look at how God used their fight. Look at how God will use your fight to encourage folks that you don't even know are watching. That you may not even have met yet. But they need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. They need to hear how God helped you when it seems like you are outnumbered. They need to hear that you learn to trust on God and not so much on the circumstances you were in. Christ even says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now that lets us know that whatever God can do in our lives is limited by our faith. Little faith, little efforts and rewards. Great faith, God can do great things with it. He's not going to outwork your faith. He's not going to outdo anything, but according to your faith, be it unto you. Where's your faith at? Is it in men? Is it in circumstances? Is it in folks acting right? Is it in the government? Please say no to that one. Is it in anybody else but Christ? How do you know that? Well, I'm going to give you a short test at the end to show where you place your faith at. Stop complaining about life and get to work. Guess what? Newsflash, everybody got problems. Everybody. They may be different from yours, and we need to be careful about wishing we had somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
Because grass ain't always green on the other side. That's what we want. If I had this person's life, you might not want all the trouble that come with that person's life as well. God has something just for you. Stop worrying about everybody else. Stop looking over your neighbor's fence, trying to keep up with the proverbial Joneses. Stop all that stuff and focus on God. It is time to stop talking and complaining and go out and get it. Some of us, all we do is make plans and excuses. You look at that planner, they got plans detailed and ain't moved an inch to make it happen. Some of us are good planners, but when it comes to actually working, they ain't nothing to back it up. This was Saul's mistake. He's sitting over there still worried about how he's going to do it, he's going to lose his kingdom. I'm just in his mind, like he would probably be, just like any normal man. How bad is the feet going to be? Does he need to run a little further? And all Jonathan and his armor bearer decided to do was just go fight. There is spiritual work to be done. Where are you? Where are you? We have a responsibility to be in the Lord's body. Everybody's a part of the Lord's body. Everybody has a role to play. And guess what? It ain't just sitting in one pew. But you're sitting waiting on somebody else to do it. Maybe, just maybe, God has you in the body for a particular purpose. Mm-hmm. He does. He does have it. Something that only you can do and provide. And when we don't do those things, mm-hmm. the body of Christ suffers at loss. Some of us, all we do is complain about stuff not getting done. Well, you an able-bodied person. What's wrong with you doing? So we need to stop spending so much time making excuses and complaining. Point number two, God always gives us the victory regardless of numbers. It was just Jonathan and his armor bearer against the Philistines. Now, mind you, the garrison means there's about 20 soldiers. So two against 20. But that wasn't all of them, because nearby was the vast majority of the Philistines' army. They didn't think about fighting everybody else. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know what, I can handle this, but something else come down the road. But if God gave you the victory against 20, it's the same thing as 2,000 with God. If he gave you small victories in your life, then you don't have to worry about the bigger problems that come down the road. We sometimes won't move because we've already not only been defeated in the enemy in front of us, we've already been defeated tomorrow, next year, next month, next decade. And guess what? It's going to paralyze you to the point where you don't move. Jonathan said this, they can't stop God and they won't stop me. Now, think about that mindset when you go into a problem, in a problem situation. That's nothing too hard for our God. And you on his side, that means also that you included in that number. It doesn't matter how small the number is, God can win. One person with God is the majority. Mm-hmm. One person with God. You and God are always the majority. Think about that as you deal with your own situation. Think about that when folks tell you and talk about it. Think about that when doctors don't give you good news. Think about that for a moment. Why do we fret so? You and God, you're more than capable of handling whatever comes your way. Oops. Don't be discouraged. You are not too small. We are not too small. Numbers don't stop God. It shouldn't stop us. Stop reflecting on the quantity and focus on the quality. Quality matters. Many of us have went out and tried to save money and bought something cheap, and the first time you use it, it broke apart. So I've learned two things I'm hard on in my own personal life are shoes and pants. I cannot cut corners in those areas. The shoes, I got bad feet, and pants, I'll split in a heartbeat. So I've learned sooner or later, I'm either going to buy one good pair or four cheap pairs. Your choice. I learned early on, I tried to cut. I had to cut corners somewhere else, but I learned I couldn't cut corners with my feet, and I couldn't cut corners with my pants. You're going to learn some things in life that are worth the quality. Believe that God can save with many or with just one person. He'll work with us, again, if we decide to work for him. Point number three, be ready to fight whenever and wherever. Notice what he says in 1 Samuel 14, 8 through 10. Let's look at it, because I like this mindset. It says this. Then said Jonathan, behold, we'll pass over to these men, and we'll discover ourselves in them. And notice he wasn't hiding in a hole. Notice he wasn't cowering. He said, I'm going to show up. That's right. That's right. Ain't that right, Mike? If they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand in our place, and we won't go up to them. If they say, come over here, we're going over there. Is that our mindset towards our problem? Problems sometimes going to show up in front steps. Sometimes you got to put them on the run. Didn't matter. There was no plan C, which was no retreating and no backing down. So as we face our different situations in life, we only got one plan. We're going to fight whenever and wherever. If it's on that territory, we're going to fight that. If we're on home, we're in home territory, we're going to fight that. If I got to fight in your yard, I'm going to fight that too. It's home. What a difference it will make as we address our problems in life. Knowing that God has already given us a victory. That's why he didn't worry about where the fight had already taken care of, because they were already defeated. That's why he didn't. That's why it didn't matter. So as we go through life, as we deal with our different situations and circumstances, understand that God has already given us the victory. Yeah. Understand it. Accept it right off. And no matter what, in the end, we win. Mm-hmm. So whether we're fighting here or whether we're fighting there, it's not an option not to fight. Mm-hmm. It's not an option not to stand for Jesus. Are we hindered because opportunities don't run us down? Some of us are looking for opportunities to knock our door down and come sit in our lap in our house. It don't work that way. Oftentimes, you find opportunities and God blesses you while you're on the way to something else. I know that for a fact. As you decide to serve him and place him first, he begins to add these things to you. That's what Matthew 6:33 talks about. He said, don't focus on what you need. God already knows those things. But do these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things that you, the Gentiles, worry about will be added unto you. He's given us the secret. You don't need to focus on what you don't have. Focus on who has it and is more willing to give it to you. Don't focus on the shortcomings. Focus on the fact that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Are we waiting for our ship to come in, but we won't even go to the shore and look for it? Are you waiting on someone else to apologize to us? I ain't doing nothing. I ain't solving nothing. Why? What difference does it make in the end if the problem is solved and over with? Many folks have been mad at folks 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Something happened 30 years ago. And you forgetting how much God has forgiven you of. Let somebody cross the wrong, see what happens. Let somebody do us dirty one time. That's it. But what if God did that for you and I? We'd have been gone, gone a long time ago. Are you waiting for the right moment, right time? There is no perfect moment of time to go to work. Just go to work. Are we waiting on God to move while we sit still? Nope. Don't work that way. It's almost like this. One step towards God, it takes two steps towards you. Sooner or later, you're going to be right where you need to be. He didn't expect you to take all the steps, but he also didn't expect you to sit on your laurels either, not take any. Number four, learn to ignore the mockery. Now look, the Philistines said in my passage, oh, they finally coming out the hole they've been hiding in. Now most of us would have been like, oh, you're right, I'm going right back. Looking at the situation, looking at the enemies, you know what? I was safer in the hole I was in. But that was a dark place of despair anyway. You was already worried yourself to death and buried the hole a little deeper. Now, they weren't hiding in the hole. They showed themselves. You saw that. Here I am. Me, just me. Nobody behind me. Me and my armor bearer. Bring it. Bring it. What is your mindset today? With you and God, you can say that in every situation you deal with. Every situation that comes your way. Most of Israel were shaking in fear and anxiety. Because you know the king was there. You know the word already got back to the whole nation. They're about to get slaughtered. Jonathan kept going and climbing while they were standing mocking. So when people put you down, say you can't, you just keep working. When people say you'll never make it, you'll never be anything, you'll never turn your life around, just keep working. Just keep doing it. You ain't got to worry about what they say. They don't have the final say so anyway unless you let them. Now they can if you give them permission to do it. But nobody has that permission over our lives but God. But God. So why do we listen to other folks who don't have no vested interest in you, who don't care whether it's a seed or fail? All they're looking to do is see you fall on your face. Keep climbing. They may have even put you in that situation. Keep climbing. They may have made it rough for you. Keep climbing. They may be talking about you like you a dog. Keep climbing. That's how you do it. One of Satan's greatest weapons is mockery. Satan always mocks God and his people. You can't do it. Can't be done. You're nobody. You don't have enough money. Church is too small. Whatever it is. The worst defeats in our lives will oftentimes come. We back down and quit fighting because of mockery and ridicule. You got to have a sound, hard defeat on your hands. Because you were worried about what they were saying. And what they were calling. And the names and all these other things. So much so that you didn't even believe, you believed them over God. You may say, no, I didn't. I'm going to prove it to you because, yes, you did. Did you keep moving or did you stop? Did you put up your dukes or did you throw in the towel? If you threw in the towel, you listen to them more than you listen to God. And we should have no other gods before us, right? Point number five, there is no substitution for hard work. 1 Samuel 14:13, he says there were sharp rocks on both sides. Now notice, he went up to the top of the hill. It was not an easy climb. If you're looking for your road to be easy, stop today. Because it ain't. The road to success is always difficult and filled with pitfalls and hard rocks to climb. But he says he climbed on his hands and knees as well as on the barrel falling behind him. Have you ever had to struggle uphill in life? And then when you got there, you had to fight. The fight was really on. You ever been there before? It seemed like you just got to the top of the mountain. And somebody trying to push you right back down. Keep going. The Philistines did not let Jonathan stop and rest. You think they said, well, you know what? These boys climbed a long way. So I'm going to give y'all about a 30-minute break, a couple of days, get yourself together. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. It don't work that way. Satan will never give you a break. And the moment you sit down and stop is the moment that he wears you out. So don't look to sit down and stop. It's hard, but you can do it. Philistines did not let Jonathan stop and rest. Jonathan's mind was made up. How about yours? Now, what kept him from stopping? Because he got to the guy to the top, and he's like, oh, man, their horses are low, but a whole lot bigger than I thought. Man, their weapons, they look small from a distance. But look how big they look up close. You know what? I'm just going to climb these back down the side of this mountain. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The victory was already there. Mm-hmm. It's already out. Don't shy away from it. Here I am, bring it. Whatever happens, happens. Me and my God can take care of it. That's the mindset. That's what God is trying to show us in this particular passage. We must be dedicated to reach our goals. Do you have the will to fight Satan and evil in this world? If you want to win souls, you got to go out and reach them. If you want to win folks to Jesus, sometimes the climb is going to be hard. Sometimes folks are going to talk about you. Sometimes folks are going to laugh at you. If that's stopping you, you will never accomplish what God wants you to do for your life. If you want something different in life, then work for it. God will work for us if we first work for him. And the last one, point number six. Do not stand back and wait. God begins to move when we decide to move. Some of us, situations and circumstances cause us to move, but that's exactly what God wants us to do in the first place. I know in my own personal life, some of my best lessons were when I got moved out of place. But guess what? I look back, I shouldn't have been in that place in the first place. And it felt comfortable, and I felt uncomfortable. I didn't understand it. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. But I tried to stick with God. And now I'm able to look back through wisdom and learning lessons. I needed that. Because I was stuck in a rut. And guess what? He had to kick me in my rear end, spiritual rear end, to get me to move. Now I'm sitting back looking, saying, God, why'd you do this? But he has something else for me. He has another plan for you. He has better plans for you and I than we have for ourselves. God is waiting for us to put him to work in our lives. God is waiting for us to put him to work even in the Lord's church. God is waiting to wear Satan out on our behalf. Now let's look at, beginning at verse number 13. And we'll bring this lesson in for a land. 1 Samuel 14. We'll pick up back and get verse number 11 and read down through verse 18. Because I didn't read it earlier. And then both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. That's mockery. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, and his armor bearer said, come up to us, and we'll show you a thing or two. They were talking bad, wasn't it? And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Hadn't struck a blow yet, but he already knew that God had already going to give him the victory. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees, upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after them. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Now, I want to make a point here. The first slaughter. That didn't stop. That just began. So when you enact God and put him in your life, this problem you're dealing with now, that's going to be your first mission. That's going to be your first victory. He's going to show you some more stuff. Now, they could have stopped there. But he was not just talking about, Jonathan was not talking about those 20 men. He was talking about God giving him the victory over 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horses. He was talking about God giving the victory no matter how many weapons they had and how many soldiers they had. That was just a starting point. Now, many of us would have been happy with it and would have climbed right back down that mountain. No, sir, no, ma'am. He has something more for you to do for his name. Why? Let's see what else happened. And it says, and after that first slaughter was Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men. Within it were and half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field. They saw this. The Philistines saw this and began to shake in their boots. And among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earthquake, so it was a great trembling. Now, can you imagine this? They fighting, and God says an earthquake. Oh my goodness. I'm talking about the God that we serve. So as they're fighting, and all they did, two people decided to climb a mountain and fight for God. God's going to do his part. We don't see that yet. If you do your part, he's got some things already in place. And it says, and the watchmen of Saul and Gibeon of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went beating down one another. Oh, my goodness. Not only did it send an earthquake, but they start killing each other, the Philistines. When have you ever seen an army do that? Just in the middle of a field, middle of a battle, take the gun off the enemies and start shooting and killing themselves. You see how powerful God is? That's what I'm talking about. Then it says that then Saul said to the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not here. That's the first time Saul even thought about the safety of his son. Wait a minute, what's Jonathan, his armor bearer? We get ready to fight. They already started to fight. They were already in the middle of it. They were already putting them on the run. That's your responsibility. Somebody's going to wonder, you know what, it's time to work. Well, guess what? You already working. Come on, already started. I done got this party started. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about here. And then it says in verse number 18, and Saul and Ahiah bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. He had the ark all along. Why didn't he move it in? The most powerful thing on earth at that time was the Ark of the Covenant. He already had God's promise in his midst. But it took Jonathan and his armor bearer for even Saul to realize what he had on hand. Somebody needs to realize who God is based on how you fight the good fight of faith. Verse 19 says, and it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines, wait a minute, turncoat, cowards, before that time, which went down into the camp from the county round about them, and even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had themselves hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethlehem. Saul, Jonathan, and Omar there. It took two to get things started. Maybe you're one of the two. Maybe you're in that mix. Somebody's looking to see some things, great things in your life. Maybe some folks that are straight away, you're able to reach by showing them in front of their eyes how to fight the good fight of faith, and they can win with Jesus again. Maybe, just maybe, you've been fighting the whole life, and it seems like all you've been doing, like Paul or Saul at that time, is kicking against the pricks. Kicking against, hurting yourself, not damaging anything, going in the wrong direction. You've been fighting, but you've been fighting with the wrong weapons. You've been fighting with mortal weapons and not eternal weapons. When you fight with eternal weapons, you can be assured that the victory is yours. Stop fighting what you got in your hand. You ain't got too much in your hand. But with God, nothing's too impossible. And when you begin to believe in it, but believe enough to move on it, then God will start to move in your life. That's the way it works. So maybe we have some folks today that been like Saul, sitting on the pomegranate tree, waiting for destruction, worrying about how bad life is and what they can't do and what they ain't got and who ain't on their side and who ain't for them, the friends they lost, the family they turned their backs on. You have whatever you want to. And all you're doing is sitting on the pomegranate tree of life, worrying, filled with anxiety, filled with sadness because there ain't nobody out there for you. What about God? That's all that Jonathan and the armor bearer did. They got Tyler sitting. They got Tyler waiting for that ship to come in. They got Tyler. They got Tyler Miles of the Philistines. But that's not the first time they mocked them. Y'all know that, right? It was every day. How do we know it? Look at Goliath and David. Look at how Goliath mocked not only David and Saul, but everybody in Israel. Every day that somebody stood up to him. But then the victory was there. That's the God that we serve. What must we do? We must first of all hear the gospel. Romans 10, 17 says, faith on my hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then we'll kind of repent of our sins. Believe what we've heard, first of all, and then repent of our sins. Then confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then be baptized in the water given baptism. This is the first activation period in your life of having God on your side and working for you. Without this, he can't. He can't cause a sin in your life. He can't do what he wants to do because of sin in your life. We humble ourselves and bring our sins to the altar and lay them there, then God will do some powerful things for you. But not until then. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why God can't work in your life and be in your life is because it's still filled with sin. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to get any better. I'm here to tell you, it won't get any better without God on your side. And then, time to time, we're like Saul, right? Great victories. Wore the Ammonites out. But then another enemy comes and kind of just rouses up my faith. We see that with Elijah, right? 450 prophets on Mount Carmel, and then comes along Jezebel. Now, God took care of 450 prophets. Surely he can have one woman with a big mouth. Yeah. Few and I are correct. What was Elijah's problem? Mm-hmm. But the question is, what's our problem too? Mm-hmm. God has done so much for us. He brought us in so many battles. And yet we fret about what we're facing today. Yet we're worried about folks laughing at us. Yet we're worried about folks talking about us to the point where we don't do what God's asked us to do. Oh my, shame on us. All you got to do today is start the work. Put in the work in your life. So yeah, when is that other? Put on Christ and baptism and request us to pray.